Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is Season 2, Episode 14, and I'm with the world's greatest co-host. That's Dawn.
Hey, how you doing, Dawn? I'm good. How you doing?
I understand you have a large fan base. I like that.
I do.
Yeah, you do. You don't know it, but you do.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, you do. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
All right. Well, all our podcast listeners in podcast land, we want to thank you very much for taking the time out to listen to us. As always, any questions, comments, and concerns, please email us or text us at 954-388-8780. And once again, guess what? Guess what, Dawn? Check this out.
I know, right?
Something happened different yesterday that doesn't normally happen in Plantation, but like once a year.
I know.
Yeah. They had a virtual cantata.
Yeah, it was virtual this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have some, we have a welcome back, and then we have a newbie.
We do.
Yes. So first of all, let's take care of the newbie.
Okay.
This young lady is the worship coordinator, I understand. Her name is choir. Should I say choir?
Choir.
Yeah, that's choir. Yeah.
Director.
Choir. There you go.
There you go.
Her name is Kelly Angus. Welcome, Kelly.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. How are you doing? I'm liking your decorations that nobody can't see but us.
I know, right? They would never see.
I love it. I love it, man. It's really nice. Well, glad to have you on the show here.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. And this guy here, you know, he's a virtuoso. I give him that much.
Virtuoso?
You know, he's kind of like
a virtuoso?
Yeah. Yes, I give it to him. He's kind of like a Kurt Franklin of the Plantation. You know, something like that.
Franklin? Oh, boy.
I just want to welcome my brother, Akeem. Or should I say Elder Akeem Darden?
Akeem Darden.
Welcome, brother.
Good to be back. Thank you very much.
Well, like I said, it's always wonderful to have you here, brother. It's always interesting because you give us a good time every time you come on.
Always.
So we
want
to thank you, man.
Never enough.
Blessings to all. All right, as we always do, Dawn, let's start with a word of prayer.
Absolutely.
Father God, we thank you once again for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy each and every day, Lord. We're not worthy in any way, shape, or form. But we want to thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness and that you bled on the cross, Lord. And you died and you rose again. So we want to thank you. Continue. Thank you for the podcast and the components and the people that make this work and make it go out to someone so they can be blessed by what they hear. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All righty. First question. I guess we get a question to Kelly. How did y'all guys come out with this year's concept of the cantata?
Yeah. Before you say that, Joe, I realized that last year we weren't able to do it because I know that we were planning for the cantata, right. And then COVID hit, and everything kind of shut down. But then. This year now, how do everybody decide that they wanted to come up with something virtual, a different kind of element to it? How do we come up with that concept? So maybe both Akeem and Kelly can talk.
Yeah, they can both answer that. Mm-hmm. Oh, are you, Kelly? You first?
I think what we can do is have Akeem start because it's kind of Olivia and Akeem brainchild, I think, in combination with something that I had wanted to do.
Okay.
Like about a year ago, and I'll piggyback.
Awesome.
His story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Akeem, it's your turn.
Yeah, I think the reality of the pandemic was that as much as we would love to continue the large cantatas that we've had in the past, it just didn't make sense from a health perspective. And as much as we all want to get together, it wasn't prudent. So we started to think through how else do we do this? And I've seen Forest Lake. I've seen some of our larger Adventist churches put on events and use virtual choirs. And so we tried to go down the idea of let's put together video clips, right? Let's have folks record interactions with one another, recognizing the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is this pandemic is affecting everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah. if we put on any kind of production that doesn't recognize kind of the reality that everyone is sharing, we're going to miss the mark. So we decided to have these vignettes where the people from today talk about some of the struggles that they've had. And then what was supposed to happen was a video, a montage or a video of these two interactions would happen. And someone from biblical times would speak to a recognition of what the problem was, right? If you were, as you guys saw, if you didn't have any money, someone who also didn't have any resources back in the Bible times showed up and was able to speak to how Jesus and their interaction with Jesus it enabled them to meet their need. And then they spoke and encouraged the person from today. And that was the big idea. We wanted to intersperse that with, you know, the original plan was everything was going to be recorded.
Right.
that didn't work out. And I think it was better for it. You know, the original plan was for songs to be recorded, but I believe that this mix of live music plus what Sister Kelly done, and I just want to set her up really quickly to piggyback on this. The live music contains a certain spontaneity and a lot of flexibility, and things that happen in the sanctuary have that. But when you're trying to record 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people and get music in to put together this recording that she spearheaded, that takes a whole nother level of precision.
Yeah.
A whole different area of expertise, different people that you need to talk to with different skill sets. And so what that choir component brought to the program was just amazing and outstanding. And I just want to hand it over to Sister Kelly to sort of talk through sort of how, you know, the implications of running a choir and supporting the cantata through the choir.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Thank you, brother.
Yeah. So, Kelly, you spearheaded the project of the virtual choir. It was absolutely beautiful. It came out really, really nice. Amen. What was that process like? From beginning to end, how did you actually start the process to get everybody coordinated together to actually do that?
Well, I'm gonna take two steps back there, Dawn. Okay, so like Akeem had mentioned, the vision was basically to kind of pull people together some kind of virtual way, and we thought recording would probably be the way. But before that, I had expressed a concern to Akeem and the team to let him know, you know, I have a burden on my heart. Mm-hmm. We have a choir, mm-hmm. and there's no way, you know, after looking, how do I have rehearsals? How do I, it's just really a challenge when you talk about getting online and everyone singing together, that it just doesn't work because of the delay in, you know, how we receive, you know, through WebEx and things like that, everything is delayed. So nobody was singing at the same time. And mm-hmm. by the time they heard my voice, then it was like 2 seconds late. So mm-hmm. that just wasn't working out. And I laid this thing before the Lord, and we started out down the path of the virtual choir. I said, I know we can actually do this, but it actually took a whole lot more background in audio mm-hmm. and video than mm-hmm. I had. I knew that there was no way that I would actually be able to pull it off with a larger group. You know, I've seen small groups do it, but when I solicited the church body, the family, and you know, how many want to participate, I got 40 replies, and I thought, whoa. Oh, let's see. You know, I spent 10 hours just trying to do two people to lay them, to make sure that their vocals were aligned. And that was a duet. So, you know, I knew that whatever had to be done, it just wasn't going to accommodate my learning curve, right? So I laid it before the Lord and I said, I want to be able to have a project where the choir is able to still function, where we're able to interact with each other, where we're able to fellowship. And it was about a year. It took about a year of research, talking to different individuals. And it hurt my heart because I know that that is an outlet of ministry for those that are a part of the choir. We pray together and everything else.
Right.
So the process then began with, you know, the collaboration. I'm reaching out to the church family. Hey, do you guys know anybody who actually has done this before? I need to know what tools to use. I mean, what's the best? And I finally laid it aside and I said, look, listen, God, if you want it to happen, it'll happen. Well, before Akeem came back and they were talking about doing the cantata, about a month prior, my nephew said, hey, Aunt Kel, you know what? I'm actually working on a project and with my band, and I want you to take a look at it. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
And it was the very thing
you needed to do.
Right? Wow. The very thing I've been praying about all
awesome.
This time.
Awesome.
And I said, wait, man, how did you do that?
Wow. You're gonna have to
share the knowledge. Mm. And he walked me through. He said, this is what you have to do. You're going to have to make sure that you get your audio down. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to lay the tracks. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get somebody to who has the patience and the time and the right software. I said, well, what's the right software? Mm-hmm. He said, I went in with my band and we all purchased software called Melodyne.
Okay.
And we utilize Melodyne to lay all of our tracks. And then he says, for our group, because it's a small group and we want different angles, we record our videos 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
From different angles. They go through the song.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if they want to catch a piano shot, then they play it all the way through with him playing the piano, you know, and so on and so forth for the other instruments and, you know, for what the singers, the accompanying singers. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going to be able to do for, you know, 40 some members. I'm not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. All these different angles. I just need one. And at that time, when I'm talking it through, I'm like, okay, Lord, you opened up this door.
Mm.
And like I said, a month later, here's the cantata. And they were like, okay, Kelly, you're going to be able to come up with something for the choir. And I said, you know, this is going to work. We could do it. It's going to take some work, but right, you know, right. I believe that we can actually pull it off. And from there, I selected a song and I selected a song that sounds extremely challenging. Mm-hmm. But really isn't. I know that the potential of the people in the choir have been teaching vocals and choral directing for over 30 years.
Right.
So I know and I knew what they could actually do. And having the tools in place, the Melodyne, to lay the audio tracks, my nephew, he volunteered. He says, I'll do it for you.
Oh,
wow. I'll do the audio. And so it was just a matter of having everyone in the choir learn the song. Mm-hmm. I had a technique of separating things out in clips. So everyone learned things in like 15-minute intervals. And all I needed was commitment. Some people did their 15-minute intervals like crammed all into one day. Oh, wow. Some people spread it out, you know, where there was 15 minutes a day, you know, and others 3 days. It didn't matter how, you know, you decided to go through those clips, but they were required for five clips. They were required to go through, spend 15 minutes a day. At the end, I created a video, and that video was me directing them to go through the song, where to cut off and all of that, providing words, where to breathe and all of that. And they had like also in each folder, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. They had like, what do you call it? A lead singer. and the lead singer sang their part in there. So by the time they got to the end where they had to submit an audio to me, they had absolutely everything they needed to know where to breathe, to know where to cut off. Everybody's cutting off at the same time, you know, and everything, and then submitting their videos.
So my biggest challenge was, I guess, trying to encourage people wanting to actually go through the process. Since it had been like a whole year, I found that individuals were a little discouraged. They didn't feel like they could actually go through the process and do it. Some felt like, you know, it's just going to be too much. Some felt like they were separated, kind of marginalized. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time on the phone this one particular Sunday, just making personal phone calls to all the members, just to kind of see where they were and to pray with them. Some individuals just encouraging, letting them know, listen, you can do this. You know, all you have to do is, and you know, I'll stay on the phone with you if need be to go through the parts. The team, I don't know if I mentioned this, but the team was really supportive before that in calling everyone to find out what their interest was and, you know, if they're willing to. They just sat on the phone one night and we just had a working session where we just made phone calls and texts and things of that nature. So the one thing I was remembering is that the whole prayer thing, my whole concern was, and with the choir, is that we would lose the elements of fellowship. And as you can see, when I'm reaching out now to for this project, it was valid. It was a valid concern. Not everyone participates in, you know, the ministries that we see up front all the time. And so these individuals, they look forward to the ministry of fellowship in the choir. It's not just the singing, but, you know, it's the prayer and the support and all of that sort of thing. So I did spend that Sunday calling individuals from that 9 o'clock a.m. And I stayed up as long as I could. I was almost falling asleep.
Wow.
11:45 p.m. Mm-hmm. It was just one call after the other.
Wow.
Prayer and encouragement. And yes, you can do this. We can get through this process together. Whatever you need, we can do this. This is ministry.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I think that was, I think, my challenging part, because after that hump, then they were on fire.
Awesome.
The choir was on fire. They were like, we're doing ministry. Okay, Kelly, if you say that we could do this, we can do this. Now, out of the 40 people that said that they wanted to do it because of the compressed time that we had to do it in, we had, I think, a total of 25 individuals that participated that could actually sit down, you know, and just work on it. But in the end, I think it really boosts the morale of the choir, the church, you know, its ministry, not just to those that we want to reach and touch outside of the choir, but for those individuals that are in the choir. There are so many things that were happening in their lives. There's cancer and near-death experiences and people praying to move and all of these things happening at the time that we're working on this project.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of hurdles, emotional hurdles, social, you know, hurdles that we had to overcome, not just the project itself. So a lot went into that. And then of course, once we had the audio laid, then, you know, I'm beating on poor Colin's door. Hello, our expert resident video and film ministry leader to crank this out in, you know, about a week and a half's time, merging all of those videos and whatnot together. And I know that that is another layer of complexity. And I just thank the Lord that everything came together. I know that the choir is grateful for how it came together. It's absolutely beautiful. And it is a result of much prayer, much prayer, a commitment from not just me, but for, you know, the commitment of all those that participated, choir members, musicians, tech team. Yeah, you name it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it came out beautiful. A lot of people said they were very blessed by watching it.
Amen.
Very, very blessed. It was beautiful. Awesome.
Yes, this is Joaquin. Who came up with the characters? See some different faces in there.
Yeah,
some little skits there were was different, and you know, I saw Renee and I was like, oh, this is refreshing.
Yeah, Renee. I think
this is refreshing.
Yeah.
who came up with that?
Yeah. When we wrote up the play, we as a group just sat down and said, what are people struggling with today? Mm-hmm. Right. And we said, all right, because of the pandemic, what's going on? And we just went through and everyone kind of talked about personally. And I won't talk about it, but every single one of us identified with one or multiple characters there because, I mean, it was just, well, I'm running out of money.
Yeah.
I'm sick. Mm. And one of the most powerful, where's God?
Yeah.
Social unrest. Yeah. Right. And so, when we sat down and said, well, what are all the things we're faced with? Then it became, all right, who best represents and who can we tap to help illustrate this? And when it came to the mental illness, with my wife being a mental health therapist, she's talking to people all the time about difficulty adapting to what's going on and different coping mechanisms that people are using, drugs and you know, sequestering away. And so the concept was thought up collectively with the team, but then it became, if we weren't going to video this, right, which we made that decision, we weren't going to video the vignettes, then we had to make a decision. Well, who do we believe can do this vignette sort of on the fly? Because the idea was, let's not give them an exact script.
Right.
We're going to give them bullet points that really speak to the situation. And then let's see where their personality fills in the gaps.
Mm. Okay.
Right. So none of them actually had a script that said, say, A, B, C, D, and E. Good. There was, good. You are one of the people who had leprosy. Mm. You know that you were an outcast. You know that people looked at you weird. And why don't you describe what that's like? And so you'll notice no one there is tripping over words, right? No one is trying to remember anything, right? Because it's fluid and natural because they're speaking from their heart around these matters. And so it was, let's find people who can do that, right? And even though my wife said, I'm not that type of person, she still saw the need.
She flowed through. I give it to her. She flowed.
People reached out to her afterward, not knowing that it was a skit, saying, I'm sorry you're having these challenges. That was one of the things that we probably should have cleared up.
Ain't that something?
Wow.
We should have cleared that up at the beginning to let everyone know this isn't personal. Because she had pills on the stage.
She did?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
She had pills. And she was saying, I'm lonely and I'm resorting to different things. And people, you know, Karina, she was getting text messages from people saying, oh, I didn't know you had COVID. That's the opportunity that we probably should have cleared off on by making sure. Hey guys, this is
a disclaimer here.
I don't actually work in a cafeteria, guys.
I really don't. I just don't dress this way. Exactly. I don't dress this way for nothing.
I think when Karina started to talk and she said, when I go to work and da 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 da, I was like,
but people who don't know her, right?
Yeah.
But people who don't know her.
Exactly. Yeah. Would there think that's historic.
Right. Right. Wow.
I think maybe the next time we air it, or maybe we should put some kind of disclaimer on the bottom. This is a skit.
And continue it running.
Yeah, she does not have COVID. My wife is not a drug addict.
Yeah, she's not. This is actually her occupation. Oh, okay. No, but it's good to see the faces up there.
It was
very refreshing. Very refreshing. You know, I miss the costumes, really, Akeem. I really felt like somebody there, you know.
I got to give a shout out to Sister Cornelia. And
she was awesome. Oh, my God.
Well, yes, not only did she played, Sister Olivia, I believe, found some of the costumes, but on the day of, she just saw that there was a need. And started finding, you know, people who needed the costumes and dressing them. There just wasn't someone there to do that. So she stood in the gap there. She also partnered with Sister Kelly and the choir, as Sister Kelly tells it, really was longing for a sort of connectivity. And so Sister Cornelia is the new events director. For the worship ministry, and then put the
Bravo.
She got folks together and got the choir together to hang out outside at the church. We had like an outdoor sort of picnic.
Yeah, how was that event? How was that reconnect event that you had at the park?
Sister Kelly, why don't you take that one?
I had a wonderful time. It was great being able to social distance and still see each other. I mean, even though you can't do all the hugging and whatnot and the camaraderie of physical touch, mm-hmm. just being there where you're able to see, you know, you felt like you could mm-hmm. touch, you know, we've been on WebEx and Zoom for so long. It was a wonderful connection, I think, finally to come back together and be with those that we haven't seen in almost a year.
Nice.
Yeah. And they really did a bang up job. I mean, just keeping things interesting. They had games prepared. They had a prayer walk. Right. So you go through and you walk and you walk with friends and family. And at each one of these stops, you know, you would pray and talk about some of the challenges that stop represented. So there was a finance stop, there was a health and so the overall get together was just really well done. And Sister Cornelia was, you know, she's leading that team out now, doing an excellent job. But yeah, sure. she took the reins on the costume, and then the acting. I can tell you, I didn't know what she was capable of, and I actually didn't know where she was going with what she, because we didn't give a script to anyone, right? So I didn't know where, and she. If you watch it, go to the part where she actually cuts off Olivia from talking. Right. Because this is actually a planned thing. I didn't even know that this was happening. But apparently Olivia had told Cornelia, look, everyone's been talking about their problems. When it gets to me, I don't even want you to allow me to talk. I'm going to start. And then I want you to cut me off in the middle of starting.
Oh, wow.
And and the concept is
cool.
Okay.
the concept is, look, we've heard a ton of problems, but Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so because none of us on the stage knew what was going to happen, when she cuts Olivia off, you can see all of our faces. We're
did see your faces. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But she brought it home. Just tying up the whole thing with the experience. And so I just, she's just done a bang up job. Great job with the acting events and with now wardrobe, and just a great addition to the team.
Awesome. Great job.
I like Pastor McCoy's as well.
Oh,
his is, I like his. Yeah. I like
oh
his.
My goodness. Guys, I got to tell you, this vignette was the closest to my heart. Okay. As you might imagine, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't look at today and you can't look at what's happening without seeing things through this racial tension and unrest and political unrest. And so I, you know, the central theme of there is divine breath in every single one of us, mm-hmm. right? God breathed his breath, irrespective of our color. The divine breath is there, right? And there doesn't seem to be a recognition of that. You see, some breath seems to be more divine than others. and certain people's breath can be choked out.
Yeah.
Without understanding the consequence of the divine breath that's in all of us. And so when I started to think through, okay, there's divinity that is simply ignored. I said, well, wait a minute, that happened before.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus was divinity ignored.
Ignored.
Walking, yeah. Breathing God. Mm-hmm. And right. That divinity was snuffed out. Mm-hmm. And so the people that were around would have understood that.
Yeah.
They would have empathized with this idea of, can't you see that I am valuable, that I'm the reason, like the ignorance of the divinity is palpable in both states. And so I wanted to get that message across that, and I love the way Pastor McCoy, he didn't give any answers. He just said, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on. There is help on the way.
Right. Right?
This is not going to end with just your life being taken out. There's more to this.
Just
hold on. And it is that hope, right? It's that idea that things have to get better that inspired my great, great grandmother. Mm. When she was getting beaten, right? When she had to get through the rape, right? The only thing that got them through was the ability to say, wait a minute, this is not all there is. There is more, there is something better. And I love the way Pastor McCoy owned that message of, I get it, I hear you, just hold on. I mean, that was super powerful.
Amen. Wow. Definitely reassurance.
Very good. Very good.
Definitely.
Yeah. It was great.
Oh, it really was. So I got one last question and I'm done.
Okay.
The question is that what about next year? What how are you guys gonna
exactly?
How are you gonna top that one?
Listen,
you
go I back told to church.
Are you well being in church is gonna yeah, right?
Thing, or would you decide that you kind of minimalize it and do it a little different? Let's think about it realistically. We're probably going to be back in church in this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
If something untoward doesn't happen, would you go back to the big things that you usually do, or would you decide to do something different or something along these lines?
I think doing things by video presents a challenge in that it's not in-house. You don't get that same feel. But what it does allow you to do is have a degree of creativity and a degree of an insistence on excellence that is not, that you just don't get live. Mm. Right. So Sister Kelly can actually get all these voices, get all these videos, mix and master something down to something that we just couldn't do live. It's not possible. Mm. So that concept of the ability to drive toward excellence and have lots of creative outlets when we leverage video is something that I think we're going to retain. That's never going away.
Okay.
But there is no substitute for after the concert, after the cantata, everyone kind of, being together and appreciating what God has done and seeing that in person, right? That, like we were talking about, that visceral feeling of watching Christ being beat. Like it's even different when you watch it online versus when you see it.
Way different in real life.
Right. So there's going to be a mix of allowing what was bringing the best of what we had to cope with during this pandemic, but still getting back in person.
I wanted to piggyback on that as well. The one element that, I've learned in this whole process is the ability to reach beyond our community.
Amen.
We have, I think, experienced on a grand scale. Now we're having Zoom meetings with people that are all the way in California, that are in different countries, that are, in the mid states, that are up in New York, that are, you name it, the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to minister in that fashion is grand. I believe God has given us this ability, the opportunity to learn what we have learned, to not just kind of toss it aside and go back to, you know, what we have been doing, but then I think also to blend now the opportunity of getting together in person, things that are more valid and real and more tangible or whatever in person. Mm-hmm. But then also have the ability to reach out, to replay to you, or to modify in a fashion that works with those that are online and other places. Because see, now, whether we realize it or not, we have a following of people that are outside of our local community.
Yes.
And we still want to maintain those individuals that are part of that community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a call from a gentleman in Maryland who said, hey, look, we're a small church. We don't have a ton of resources. We'd love to be able to license or use what you guys do on a weekly basis to just enrich our church. Let's work out what that looks like. Mm-hmm. So, Sister Kelly, you're absolutely right. The ability to take this message and what God has shared with us in terms of talents that we can give back to him, it's just bigger, right? That's we recognize it's just bigger than what we originally thought. And I tell you what seemed to be just plain evil, right, in terms of this pandemic has yielded some really valuable lessons for us as a church. Mm-hmm. You know, right, Sister Kelly, you talked about what are we really doing, right? Because if we're putting on a program but we're not connected, right, the pandemic exposed a lot of traditions that we went through, right? We were just going to church because we read the Bible because it was tied to my Sabbath school and I was going in, and the pandemic kind of laid waste to a lot of the things that we thought we had to do. And it really began to expose what's real and what's left. And I think that I'm a better Christian for it, right? I read the Bible not because it's time to go to church or I need to be prepared for something. And I do it because I just love to know what God has to say about me in his word. Mm-hmm. And that took some time, right? So I do think that that's one of the positives that sort of come out of this whole pandemic.
How would you, going forward, now you've done your cantata, what's the next thing that the choir, or what else are you going to be doing going forward for the rest of the year even?
Yeah.
Next cantata.
So I'm going to let Sister Kelly speak on the choir side. I know I've, before she even finished this one, like Sister Kelly, let's start talking about that next one. She's like, can I please just get through this one? So from a worship perspective, I'll speak to that, and then I'll hand it off to Sister Kelly for the choir. From a worship perspective, we've got a May 1st or early May time frame for getting back into the sanctuary. And so because of that, you know, we need to start thinking through what does that format look like, right? So we won't be at full capacity. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you're going to have some folks in, but you're still going to have the majority of your presentation geared toward online. And mm-hmm. so some of the things that we can get away with 100% online viewership is that in between cuts, in between when video showing, we can just chill out and kind of take a breath and sit down and kind of chit chat. And that's not going to be possible anymore, right? Because there's going to be 25% of the people in the sanctuary.
So
we've got to rethink what that service now looks like. We're going to have to probably, and this is not necessarily defined yet, but at 25%, we're probably going to have more services. Right. Because you're only going to be able to get a few people in at that time. So we're considering, well, what are the length of the services? Maybe we have more of them so we can get more people in, but the service is shorter. Right.
How many? About 3 to 4?
I'm sorry?
I mean, about 3 to 4, maybe?
No, 4 is not on the table. Can you remove that out of the atmosphere? But we're going to have to distill the service down to even more of its essential elements so that we can get more people in, get them through the service. If that's a Friday, if it's a late Saturday service, I don't know what that looks like, but I do think we need to reconsider and be responsive to the times, right? If we keep doing things the same way, then I think that's where we see people kind of fall off because we're not actually responsive. So we'll be changing. We don't know what that looks like exactly, but we'll keep you posted.
Because like, if you bring in like 25%, then do you not have that 25% the next week? Or do you, how do you,
all of that's, that is the questions that we're going to have.
Come in and who do you tell them, no, you can't this week?
You guys are all hogging up. I'm not going to call out any religion, but I do know that there are people that charge for services.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just going to say, hi, Holy Days. There are, you pay for that seat.
Wow.
All right, Sister Kelly, I'm sorry, I derailed you.
Yeah, that caught me off guard there.
Yeah, because
it's the truth.
Akeem, I come from a Baptist church, and I just remember the names on the pews. That was enough.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Right?
Exactly. Maybe on the bricks on the outside. Right.
And you dare sit there if you like to. You dare sit there. Wow.
Okay, so Miss Kelly, the choir.
So for the choir, because we're still social distancing, I know that already this will probably continue in a virtual manner to an extent.
Okay.
Making rehearsals available, it'll probably be, you know, rehearsals in small groups like sectionals. Mm. I would like to be able to extend the virtual choir well beyond our borders. I have given this to the Lord and I've laid it before his feet. And I'm just like, God, if it's to be, then, you know, allow the doors to open. I would like for this to be a grand ministry for those that are in the choir to bring people to Christ. If it's shown and when it's shown during the service for, you know, people who are for the first time visiting Plantation, you know, online, watching services online, you know, like I said before, this is something that I am envisioning well beyond our borders. So I believe that it'll continue. It'll look a little bit different. But I also know that we will have to do a little bit more restructuring. Because otherwise I know that I couldn't be there, you know, every single solitary Sabbath where I'm able to just kind of split up the group. You take this room, you take this room, you know, we'll come back together and we all cram into another room.
Right.
We're not going to be able to, to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we do have other projects, but they'll kind of look like that going forward.
Okay.
All right.
That's nice. It'd be nice. You know what? It'd be nice, Akeem, if you got Lisa to be involved, and CJ and Deidre.
And Malaine. Old D4C.
They're all over
and
the place.
D4C,
I'm telling you,
that'll be so nice.
It is now possible, right?
Yes, it is very possible. Yes,
it is
very, very possible.
I would love to do that. I don't know if you guys saw Lachelle. She was in this one. We reached out to her and she volunteered. Manny is high on our list of getting back in. So that is absolutely on our radar. There's absolutely no reason why we couldn't reconnect and get something like this done.
Yeah. Definitely.
Awesome. Alrighty.
Well.
Hold on, it's pretty much that's it. I mean, well, we got what we need. What's going to happen? But so I guess
can I interrupt? I want to call out because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But Sister Whitney Richardson and those young people. I'd be remiss if I didn't pause just a minute and say those kids sounded amazing.
Yes,
they did. So talented. And I was listening to them and I forget who it was, looked over at me and said, if we didn't have that, imagine your church of tomorrow.
Mm.
Imagine your church of today. Karina, who was singing in the choir, was our alto. Our youth are just amazing. And Sister Wendy and her dedication to giving them a platform, just like Sister Kelly, she was working with these guys outside of knowing that there was actually going to be an Easter performance.
Right.
That's just what do you call that? Integrity, right? Where you just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, whether they pay off or not. She was working with the kids, and then we were like, hey, can you have them sing? She's like, well, I was, we were getting ready anyway.
Right.
So I got to call her out, and all of the teams that got together to make this happen, the audio team, the visual arts, all Flexibo, the technology team, all of them just really pitched in and things go crazy and haywire. And when you're flexible and humble, it makes, and you have that sort of Christ-like mind, it just makes things go better. And the entire team pulled together. Sister Sabrina, who is in New York, who left, she's gone and still coordinating from New York, getting people together and scheduling rehearsals. And she's like, I'm gone, but I'm not really gone. So you guys
And I also wanted to say also, Alex, she was part of the youth, and she was also a part of the mass choir. Yeah.
Okay.
They did double time.
I tell you, boy.
Nice.
You guys don't happen to see unfortunately you see the results, but the work that went behind it, people don't often see. So when I get an opportunity to sort of lift up these folks, and let you guys know that if the streaming is off, if the sound is off, it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to be the distraction is going to take it. So everyone pulled together and made this thing happen. And I'm so appreciative of what God has done to bring and surround us with ministers who get the call and know that the time is short.
Yep. Yes.
Amen for that.
And everything that we do, if we don't lift him up and glorify him in this time that we have remaining, what are we doing?
Exactly.
What are we doing? Yes. Yep. I tell you, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, Sister Kelly, I want to thank you for just all you do. I mean, sometimes you have to put the face with the name. I'm like, wait a minute, who is Kelly? Wait a minute. Oh, now I know who she is.
Right.
Like, come on. I'm like, come on. And my wife, she's always hit me back in the head. You don't know who Kelly is? That's like, oh, sorry. I know Akeem is, of course, but
I got that a lot.
Who's Kelly? Like,
right.
Yeah, I think when the tech said today, who's Kelly? I'm like, huh?
No, he did.
Yeah. But look, we gotta give one shout out to Cassandra too. She performed there as well.
Yeah.
Cassandra did well as well. She's she's a dramatist.
She is.
So we got to give her that.
Yeah, she pulled my wife aside. Because they had their vignette together, and she pulled her aside and was like, "Look, we need to figure this on out. We're gonna do this together." And they worked on theirs together, and it was awesome.
Yeah, they did. They did well.
Very well. Yes.
Well, I kudos to our church plantation, because I think this is the church that I've been seeing the most gifted and most spirited. Church I've seen as far as talents from what God has given us, major talent. I'm talking about people that you would expect to do something, just comes right in and do it because of the word in their heart tells them what to do and tell them that's the right thing to do. Right. And I've seen that in plantation time and time and time again. And people have been impacted. And I'd be one to say that. I've been impacted. Just if it's worship, it's a sermon, outreach ministry. Mm. How would you say? Look, I even say this: in-house ministry. Mm. We've had it all, and Plantation is a gifted church, and we're more than that beacon on the hill. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. We're much more than that. So blessings to you, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Blessings to your elder. Mm-hmm. Continue to do what God has given you to do, and expound it more. Share the word. Mm-hmm. Because our time is wrapping up. It is wrapping up, and we're just a wonderful thing. That's why I appreciate you, Don, because you made me a lot better.
Mm. Hey, oh, okay. It's a bit of a low, yeah, virtual hug, I see.
Right.
Hold on a second.
Right.
You know, like this. But you know, you guys are meaning, no, seriously, it has, this podcast is I hear you, King.
Right.
Yeah, but this podcast has really been a joy to me. So I want to thank you for that. Just the opportunity to speak with different people,
yeah, exactly,
and just talk about the word. That's just wonderful. So without further ado, we're going to give Mrs. Kelly an opportunity to pray us out.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. Yes.
Dear God in heaven, we just bow before your throne of mercy and grace, thanking you, Father, for being our God. Thank you for the grace that you lay before us. Thank you for allowing us to go through what we've had to go through with COVID, because it has drawn us closer to you. It's given us the ability to reach those who are seeking you. And I thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to discuss some of the things that we have ministered, how we've ministered to individuals through this podcast. I thank you that you have allowed us to, I guess, get through the hurdle of learning for the whole Easter cantata and everything. But now I pray, dear Lord, we lay all of these things now at your feet and ask, what is it that you would have us do now going forward? Continue to lead us and to guide us in all of these things. Bless the church family and those that are in listening. And we just thank you, dear God, for what you are about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, Sister Kelly, continue doing what you're doing. Be blessed, and your family.
Thank you.
Elder Keem, always a pleasure. Kurt Franklin, a.k.a.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
He got it now. He got it, though. For all who are oppressed, you know how it goes. We're going to continue, man. Blessings to your wife and her and yes, her practice. I heard she's doing well.
Man, she continue. Is.
And your family, okay? And your wonderful right. family for doing that. Don, as always, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, don't forget the birthdays.
Oh, yes, yes. Before we get there, let me let the podcast listeners know, once again, any questions, concerns, and comments, please text us at 954-388-8780. And drum roll, please.
Yeah.
Birthdays. Birthdays.
We have Kimberly Lee's April 6th.
Kimberly?
Kimberly and Lee, remember?
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you.
And then Nikki Cameron.
April 6th. Hey, I saw her yesterday. Yeah, I forgot. Caleb had his third year birthday.
Yeah, his birthday.
At the park, yeah.
So we have to say Caleb. Caleb Loyton, yeah. Too.
Caleb Loyton was yesterday, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't forget. Pastor Jack.
Yep. And Jack, yes.
Jack's birthday was yesterday.
He's 81 too. Years old.
Yes, man. Jack.
And then we have Elsa. Elsa's birthday is
Elsa Gordon, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I call her the wise one.
Yeah, she is.
She's a wise one. Yeah.
Yuri Cervantes, I don't know him, April 10th.
Just can't get a face. Can't put a face with that one.
And Michael Jura, April 10th too.
What?
Wow, but he's in
what? Okay.
Yeah, I talked to Jack and he said today, and he said it's interesting turning 81. He said the first thing to go is your memory, and then the second thing he couldn't remember what the second thing.
I like that. Hey, look, before we go, I gotta tell you, they did a lemon and spoon race yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I saw.
And
I heard
Jack actually won. Yeah. He actually won, but guess what? See, he loved his wife so much that he turned around and let her pass.
Aw, that's nice.
But if you ask Jack, he said they moved the rope back another foot.
It's interesting. He said the story. He said the reason how the way that you win this is by keeping your eye on the finish line and not on the limit.
Yes, right.
And I said, what a powerful, that sounds like a sermon in the making. Keep your eye on the finish line and you will win. Don't get distracted.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was like, I might have to steal that from
you. That sounds like that organ need to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, you guys are too much, man. God bless everyone, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good evening.
Have a good night.
Take care.